So this morning we'd like to take a look, and we pause from our teaching of the book of Hebrews, although we are going to start in the book of Hebrews this morning. You know, the book of Hebrews is 13 chapters long. We've been in it since Cheryl. Where is Cheryl? Cheryl, how long have I been in this book? What date? Cheryl always marks the date to let me know. I think it's been 2 years now, hasn't it? I've been moving too quickly through this book. February 19th, 2012, so 2 years, 2 months now. And that means sometimes it's good for a review and unpacking of what the book of Hebrews means. Now that we've studied it and we know that it's about the new covenant is better, I just want us to take a look at chapter 8, verse 5 and 6, and then we unpack it by going to the book of Philippians. Because the same author of Hebrews is the same author of Philippians, Paul. So you'll see an amazing parallel with Paul in the book of Hebrews. And it says this. In chapter 8, the writer starts out, say the main point in the book of Hebrews is this. The old covenant in verse 5 was a copy and a shadow. How many of you want to be old covenant Christians? Here we go. You serve a copy and a shadow. Isn't that wonderful? The stories of Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, that's wonderful. But that is a copy and a shadow of the reality of Jesus. And Moses and the tabernacle and all the things that they were to do were a pop-up book that symbolize the reality of what Jesus would do in the new covenant. Look at verse 6. But now he, Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry. More excellent than what? Than the old covenant ministry of Moses and that generation who were under the law. By as such, he is the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. Wait a second, Pastor Dave. You mean to tell me that the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, was inferior to that of Jesus Christ? You bet I'm telling you that. Paul said the law was holy, just, and good, but anything in comparison to what Jesus Christ has done is shadow and dust and fading away. Now let me show you how this unpacks if we go to Philippians. Philippians, and see how Paul does this. Philippians chapter 3. And a very simple outline of this is in light of the new versus the old covenant, is in 3, 1 and 2, are those who only are under the old and reject the new. Here is what the Bible says about those in verses 1 and 2 of Philippians 3 that reject the new covenant and only stay in the old covenant. And the rest of it tells us about the people who are in the new covenant with Jesus. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. That's Jesus. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard. Repetition is the key to learning, is what Paul is saying. And to write the same things over and over again, that's why the book of Hebrews keeps repeating, 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 because we need to know the heritage of the new, and we cannot be with the old. Beware the dogs. Now wait, stop. Do you know who the dogs were? No. The dogs were called by the old covenant people because they weren't under the old covenant. But now something's changed. Now, if you're not under the new covenant, guess what? So wonderful is the new covenant that those under the old covenant who would dare call people under the new covenant dogs, they're the real dogs, Paul says. Hey, that wouldn't fly in a seeker-sensitive church, would it? Joel Osteen won't preach this passage. You stay with the old, you reject Christ as the new, and Paul said, beware the dogs that would preach against the new covenant. Beware the evil workers. You know what evil workers are in Paul's eyes? Those who would try to put you under the old covenant and its law. The new covenant is so wonderful, you cannot go back to the old covenant with its laws and its regulations. And by the way, if you go back to the old covenant, you have to do it all. That means you better not eat lobster, you better not have pork, you better do all of the dietary, ceremonial, and whatever's involved. And those who try to put Christians under that are evil workers. Beware the false circumcision. You know what Paul now says? Anybody that tries to, under the old covenant, say you got to get into the old. You know, there are Christians that even say that. These old covenant Christians that say there's some type of sanctifying effect through the law. No. And it's funny how under the new covenant, it's all reversed now. So wonderful is Christ's new covenant that we must know our heritage and the wondrous things that Christ has done in the new covenant. Now look what Paul says in light of that. For we are the true circumcision. Did you note that? How many of you have ever looked and seen people at the Wailing Wall going like this? And everybody, well, those are the chosen people. Uh-uh. We're the true circumcision. Those in the new covenant who have accepted Messiah Jesus are the true Jewish people. Did you hear what I just said? No one is the true circumcision apart from Messiah Jesus Christ. You are the true circumcision. Quit paying attention to the media that would tell you that apart from Jesus Christ, anybody is chosen. It ain't biblical and it ain't true. Did you just see what Paul said? Those in the new covenant who have accepted Messiah Jesus are the true circumcision. But we're not outwardly circumcised. It's spiritual circumcision of the heart. Who worship in the Spirit. How do you get the Spirit? There's your first unpacking. You get the Holy Spirit indwelling you through the new covenant. And glory in Christ Jesus. And put no confidence in the flesh. Hey, you know what that means? There are a lot of people that are going to stand before God and say, Lord, I have great confidence in the good works that I did. Under the new covenant, it says you can't put any confidence in your goodness because you stand righteous before God because of Jesus and His righteousness. You are in Him. You need perfect righteousness before God, and the only way to get perfect, acceptable righteousness before the Father is to be in Christ. Now, I'm not antinomian. We need to please God. Under the new covenant, we're under the covenant, the new law of love. That's our one rule. What would love do? Under the new covenant, just ask yourself this. What would love do? That's why I'm not for pulling the lever on people and sending them any. That's God's business. And love would say, we beg people to come to Jesus Christ. We're under the law of love. What would love do is all you have to worry about. Say, you're a liberal there, Pastor Dave. No, I'm not. That's what Jesus, by this shall all men know you're my disciples, by the love, not by the Bible. Not by the tie you wear. We ought to start cutting them off. There was a restaurant in San Diego, Pinnacle Peaks, used to cut the ties off. I just got an email from a seminary student where he's at a church and one of the people at church says that you must wear a tie on Sunday morning because you're dressing up for God. Well, listen to me. God wants you to dress up for Him, but it's on the inside, not the outside. Amen. Pastor Dave won't wear a tie. Why? Because it's not the outside. Jesus said the Pharisees love to make good on the outside. He says, worry about your inside. That's what we have to do. Although I myself might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else, I do far more circumcised. Where did they get circumcision from, everybody? The old covenant. Of the eighth day, right when the old covenant said it, he got it done. Of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Under the old covenant, yeah. A Pharisee. Man, the Pharisees kept law. Matter of fact, they kept so much law that even the 613 commandments in the Old Testament wasn't enough. They made up their own. That's what Christians love to do. Don't go to a movie. Don't do this. Well, that's real special, isn't it? Does that make you righteous? It's not what you don't do, it's what you do that makes you righteous before God. And that is, you're under the new covenant by walking by faith in what Jesus has done. As to the zeal of persecutor of the church, he thought he was doing a favor to God by killing heretics. Religious people are nuts. Don't ever... Now listen to me. When I say that, some of you say, what does Pastor Dave mean by that? Listen to me. Truly born again people have the Spirit of God to teach them His Word. But there's a lot of people out there that name the name of Jesus. And just because you name the name of Jesus doesn't mean that God has truly caused you to be born again. In the name of Jesus, so many wicked things have been done. And to be honest with you, those aren't really born again people. The sign of being born again is that there is a softening of your heart, a compassion and a mercy, the fruit of the Spirit. And only the genuinely born again. If you're a hard-hearted, hard-shell Baptist, they used to call them when I was a kid, ask the Lord, Lord, is your Spirit working within me to make me the loving and gentle person? Jesus was a friend of sinners. I've been places where they will say, birds of a feather, don't you be friends with sinners. Excuse me? Jesus was a friend of sinners. He was friends with the downtrodden, the outcast, prostitutes, the sinners. They liked Jesus. You know who was not liking Jesus? The Pharisee, self-righteous ones. They were too good. That's what God doesn't like. Because all we have, listen to me now, all you have is borrowed righteousness. Jesus gives it to you. And you stand perfectly righteous, not on the basis of anything you've done. And this is how Paul is contrasting the old and the new covenant. These are all old covenant. They're nothing. And as to the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Oh, I could just see some fundamentalist Christians. Here we go. But, you know, they really like law. Maybe we should call them legalists. But there's more to it. It's culture. You know what? Your own self-righteousness in the old covenant, even Paul said, as to that, I was blameless. And guess what? It didn't count before God. You want to keep law? Do it all or none. And it doesn't count toward God because your righteousness has to be absolutely the righteousness of Jesus Christ to stand before God. And look with this. Look at verse 8. Or verse 7, excuse me. Whatever things were gained under the old covenant. See, up to now, these verses have been what I thought was gain under the old covenant, the covenant of law under Moses. I counted them loss. I don't know how old Paul was when he became a Christian, but everything up to that point, all of his zeal for the law, all of his persecution for the church, being blamed for the law, did not count because it can't count before God's eyes. God, the Father, will only accept the righteousness of His Son, which is through faith. In what He's done. Look at this now in verse 8. More than that, I count all things to be loss. in view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus, the Messiah, under the new covenant. Now, the law is holy and just and good, but it was only a teacher, a tutor to bring us to Christ. And once Jesus is here, it's been enacted on better promises and anything else. Even the old covenant is what? Laws. And count them but rubbish. Can you imagine that? So wonderful are the promises of the new covenant that Paul says even the old covenant under Moses and all of my own individual righteousness is nothing but rubbish. Do you know what that word rubbish means? Do you know what scubalon means? Be careful, I know you mad scientists. What does it mean?
Dumb.
Now there is the better promises of the new covenant. If you're under the new covenant in Jesus, everything else in comparison to knowing Christ and being in the new covenant is dung. And you cleaned that up. It's excrement. That's what it means. So as you celebrate communion this morning, you learn one thing. It is only being in Christ by faith in the new covenant of which He inaugurated through His blood. That's the only thing that matters in this world, and your self-righteousness will never be acceptable to God. You're under the law of love. You know, if you love the Lord, you don't want to displease Him. You don't want to do things that displease Him. And you want to love one another. But love is what counts now.